Then he goeth and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, in today's gospel, we witness our Lord casting out the devil from the dumb man. The incredulous Jews refuse to believe that our Lord is the Messiah and accuse him of casting out demons by the power of the prince of demons, Beelzebub. Our Lord answers them by showing them the illogical hypocrisy of their accusation and pointing out that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if by Beelzebub I cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judge. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." Holy Mother Church seems to suggest two points for our consideration today through her choice of the liturgical texts. Tom Guéranger summarizes them both in his commentary on this Sunday. "But if there be one season of the year," he writes, "more than any other, in which the faithful ought to reflect upon what is both taught by faith and experience as to the existence and workings of wicked spirits, it is undoubtedly this of Lent, when it is our duty to consider our past sins and what are the spiritual dangers we have to fear for the future, and what means we should have recourse to for preventing a relapse. Let us then hearken to the Holy Gospel." And what does the Holy Gospel teach us? First of all and foremost, that we are engaged in a battle for our souls with the evil spirits with whom there can be no compromise. The evil spirits seek to tempt us by many means, distracting us from our eternal end by inducing us to reject God, our only true good, for the created goods of pleasure, of power, of possessions, making them our final end in place of Almighty God. Too often, we try to live with one foot in God's camp and one in the world, persuading ourselves that a compromise is possible. As long as we observe the major commandments, we tell ourselves, little does it matter if we allow ourselves a small illicit pleasure or worldly attachment. God will understand. But will he? Our Lord tells us in today's gospel, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." We are either with our Lord or against him. We cannot compromise with the powers of evil, who present this evil to us under the appearance of good, seeking by this nothing more than our eternal ruin, as they hate us and are jealous of the goodness that God has bestowed upon us. "Be not therefore partakers with the children of unbelief," St. Paul tells us in the epistle of today. He continues, "For you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth." Now, during this holy and penitential season of Lent, is the time for us to examine the many aspects of our lives to see if they are in conformity with God's holy will for us. Our holy patron, St. Francis de Sales, talks about attachment to sin in his Introduction to the Devout Life. He writes, "All the children of Israel went forth from the land of Egypt, but not all went forth heartily. And so, when wandering in the desert, some of them sighed after the leeks and onions, the flesh pots of Egypt. Even so, there are penitents who forsake sin, yet without forsaking their sinful affections. That is to say, they intend to sin no more, they formally renounce and forsake sinful acts, but they turn back many a fond and lingering look to what they have left, like Lot's wife as she fled Sodom. They are like a sick man who abstains from eating melon or any other food when the doctor says it would kill him, but who all the while longs for it, talks about it, bargains when he may have it, would at least like just to sniff the perfume, the smell, and think those who are free to eat it very fortunate. And so these weak, cowardly penitents abstain from a while from sin, but reluctantly, They would fain be able to sin without incurring damnation. They talk with a lingering taste of their sinful deeds and envy those who are yet indulging in the like. And he continues, thus a man who has meditated some revenge gives it up in confession, but soon after he is to be found talking about the quarrel, averring that but for the fear of God he would do this or that, complaining that it is hard to keep the divine rule of forgiveness. Would to God it were lawful to avenge oneself. Who can fail to see that even if this poor man is not actually committing that sin, he is altogether bound with the affections thereof. And although he may have come out of Egypt, he yet hungers after it and longs for the leeks and onions he was wont to feed upon there. It is the same with the woman who, though she has given up her life of sin, yet takes delight in being sought after and admired. Alas, of a truth, all such are in great peril. Dear faithful, is there anything in our own lives, for example, an attachment to sin or an attachment to a near occasion of sin that constitutes a compromise with the world? Let us examine ourselves on this point, and if so, let us make the resolution to cut it off. For we wish to walk in the love of God, as St. Paul says, just as Christ himself has also loved us and delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God in an odor of sweetness. The second point that we should consider today is the possibility of a relapse into our former faults. We have been called, the epistle tells us, from the darkness of sin to the light and friendship of God by and in his holy grace. However, we are not yet saved. By the grace of God, we must begin again in earnest each day the work of our conversion. Our Lord is speaking of this possibility of falling again into the sins of our past if we are not vigilant in keeping the good resolutions we have made, cutting off attachments to sin, and seeking to grow daily closer to God. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he says, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest and finding it not. He saith, I will return into the house whence I came. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goes and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. What is the house swept and garnished for the return of the evil one, if not the soul, who having received abundantly of God's grace, does not fully cooperate with it, but allows itself to retain unholy attachments, temporizing in its duty of giving itself entirely over to God, who seeks nothing more than to draw the soul closer to him. Let us then, again writes Dom Guéranger, be on our guard against a relapse, and in order that we may ensure our perseverance, without which it would have been little purpose to have been a few days in God's grace, let us watch and pray, let us keep ourselves under arms, let us ever remember that our whole life is to be a warfare. And to obtain this gift of holy perseverance, this gift of cutting ourselves also off from all attachment to sin, let us address ourselves particularly, of course, to our Blessed Mother, but in this month of March, to the glorious Saint Joseph, who more than any others practiced this virtue of perseverance and can obtain it for us from Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.